Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're speaking with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson. I was thinking as we look back to a year ago, it was weird because we were getting ready for the spring high school football season. I kind of like that kind of last spring. It was a weird vibe, but I know it feels good to be back to normal. And, you know, knock on wood, looks like we're going to get through this school year with, you know, full state tournament series and kind of things back to normal. And I know that has to make the people at IHSA feel pretty good.
It does. Yeah, we're incredibly blessed to be back on schedule, on time with all of our activities and sports. And yeah, we couldn't be happier to be culminating everything on time. You know, we navigated the winter season carefully and thank goodness successfully culminating our tournaments new this year, of course. But yeah, it's great to be on time.
Well, and I know when we kind of reflect back, you know, there were some concerns about the financial health of the association, and we can talk a little bit about that today because the membership assessment fee is being eliminated. But I know when you look back to last school year before the kind of the restart of the modified season, that there were some serious concerns about the financial health of the organization. So as we fast forward a year ahead, you feel much better about that, I'm assuming?
I do. Yeah. You know, so many unknowns existed last year this time as to really not knowing what this 2021-2022 school year, how it would unfold for us. And having gone through the loss of championships the previous year, at this time last year, we really still remain concerned about how the finances were going to go. And as a result, the board did institute an assessment, really kind of a three-year plan, not knowing what the future would hold. And really, we're fortunate for our membership that we have had a successful year to date. And last month, it caused the board to make some adjustments in eliminating the last 2 years of the assessment and then beginning to pay back the assessment that we asked the membership to help us navigate starting this school year. So all that obviously is positive for us, for our member schools, and really looking like on a financial standpoint that we're getting back to normal, getting our feet on the ground. We're hiring the replacement assistants that we had lost and didn't replace. So yeah, I feel like we're in a much better place financially as an association.
Yeah. In like a lot of entities, I know you received, you know, funding through the Paycheck Protection Program. That's kind of how serious of a concern it was last school year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Every opportunity we had as a non-for-profit to get those monies to help us navigate, we did. And thank goodness the monies we did receive were forgiven. And so, yeah, that helped us navigate and has put us in a much better position.
All right. So, year one of four-class basketball for the state tournament occurring on the same weekend for the girls and the boys. And let's start kind of with the boys. That's got a lot of the attention because of the move back to Champaign and the State Farm Center. I'm sure there's probably still some debriefing going on. I think Saturday, no question, was a big day with the four state title games at the State Farm Center. What did you think, and are there any things that may be adjusted going forward with the home at the State Farm Center?
Yeah, you know, whenever a couple new things, and you've alluded to them both, you know, the new format and then the new site, all those changes definitely will have us reviewing and reaching out to those that participated in the state finals and gathering some feedback. And then obviously taking a look closely at things that we can do better. So, yeah, we're in the middle of that process. But I think in just reflection, we did as a staff shortly after we returned, and we felt like it was a success. And, you know, being able to finish our boys basketball state finals in advance of the NCAA tournament beginning, we think helped us a little bit. We had outstanding games, of course. Anybody who who was there or experienced it or was able to watch it on TV knows the quality of, and, you know, no surprise, the history of basketball in Illinois that, you know, we continue to have great competition in all levels, all four classes. And so, that all really played out well for us. The return to State Farm Center was welcomed by many, I think, as I navigated the weekend there and talked to different people. That was the sentiment that we got from a number of people. So yeah, some debriefing to go through and some reflection, you know, some scheduling, timing things I think we can do better. I was a little disappointed in how late we went into the evenings on Thursday and Friday. So we'll look at the schedule definitely and do some tweaking and obviously listen closely to those that were involved and participated and navigated the weekend, schools that were involved for sure, and try to, you know, do what we can to make it better.
Yeah. So when you talk about scheduling in the late night for Thursday and Friday, those are where the third place games are played for the Thursday session. It's the third place games for 1A, 2A. Friday evening, it's the third place games for 3A, 4A. So when you say tweaking, you're looking at possibly the potential there of altering that some way or somehow. Is there anything that's on the table right now?
Not specifically. Yeah, to me, it was finishing so late, and whoever is playing those evening games that was concerning. So I think we need to adjust the timing somehow, some way, to try to get those started sooner so we're not so late into the evening. With the completion of those games, obviously overtimes and use of timeouts, all those things you cannot control. But yeah, any other adjustments are still up in the air. Nothing has been finalized. But to me, my concern was just how late we had to go to finish up those consolation games, both 2A on Thursday and then 4A on Friday. So that's really what stood out to me. I'm sure we'll hear from some others about playing two games in a day, you know, the consolation games were teams that were playing again that same day. So we'll gather the feedback, see if there's any adjustments we can make. But, you know, it's in 3 days and playing 16 games that there's just no question. That's a lot of games to be played in a 3 day window. And so while we hope to do some navigating to make timing a little better, we are limited in what we can do.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, then, is when you go from a super sectional that's played Monday night, and then if you're a 1A, 2A team, you know you have to play on Thursday. Now, the only other thing, you know, a couple other things that I heard is, and I don't know if there's ever a way to accomplish this, because if you're playing the four classes all together on the same weekend, simple math, that's 16 teams participating. And, you know, I heard a couple coaches say, man, it would have been awesome as part of the experience if you can just get one practice on that State Farm Center floor before the games are played. But I don't, realistically, I don't know how you can do that between, basically when you play Monday and then you have just basically Tuesday and Wednesday and then the games begin on Thursday. Have you heard any of that about, you know, just teams wanting to get that opportunity to have a practice on State Farm Center floor before they play a state tournament game?
Yeah, we did hear that. Yeah, we heard it both the girls' weekend and the boys' weekend, especially teams that had been to the state finals previously and enjoyed the experience of when we had two weekends and only eight teams, where we had one full day of providing a half hour of time on the floor. So no question if we thought there was a timeline that we could do it. But, you know, you illustrated the challenges we have with just the number of teams and the quickness of getting to State Farm Center to play, availability of State Farm Center, and, you know, just the different travel times for teams and getting there. Then to try to carve out a practice time on the arena floor, just as challenging to meet the needs of all 16 teams and make it equal. Obviously, you know, if one team gets to have a half hour on the floor, then, you know, that's something that we should allow all teams. And while we knew that that was something that we were giving up, and no surprise that the teams would have liked that opportunity, we're open to ideas, and if anyone of our member schools has an idea, we'll definitely consider it. But the number of teams coming just really creates the challenge.
And then one of the other things I heard, and by the way, I thought it was a great weekend. I loved every minute of it when I was down there. We had a local team playing. I thought it was awesome being at the State Farm Center and getting that vibe back. I just think it feels different when it's on a Big Ten floor and a Big Ten arena with the improvements that the U of I has made with the facility. Now the other thing, the only other thing I really heard was, would there be a way to do a pre-tournament banquet? That's another thing where you have the short turnaround from Monday super sectional games to Thursday games being played. Is there something like that that could happen, maybe, or not?
Yeah, possibly, and that's another thing that folks may or may not know that was a part of what Peoria put together when we started the tournament there, and then, as Peoria developed that, then we also brought that to the girls' tournament. It's one of previously it was one of the few tournaments where that kind of evening gathering of participants is involved. I think we only other sports where we do this type of thing is baseball, softball, and a lot of that has to do with the location and the host sites being willing to offer that. So we would have to get some buy-in from State Farm Center, and we actually looked at the possibility of doing a Wednesday night for 1A, 2A, and a Thursday night for 3A, 4A teams. Would divide up our personnel, obviously, on the Thursday evening, while we would have to man the tournament games going on for 1A, 2A. We'd have to have another group of personnel helping navigate that. And so, all of that was provided in Peoria in any of our tournament is not IHSA. While we partner with the local group that wants to provide that, we'd have to get some buy-in from the folks in Champaign, and then decide if in fact, that's an additional night for some. Are thinking of our 4A teams that don't play until Friday afternoon, to ask them to come in on a Thursday night, some time frame of which that could happen. It's not beyond the realm of a possibility, but it does have its challenges, and it's why it was one of the things that we left out this year, and just to see how we were going to navigate the schedule we created.
Okay, and the only other basketball thing I have, apparently there weren't any issues, we had the same state tournament series going on 1A through 4A for girls basketball during those weeks, regional sectionals, and then the same with the boys. It didn't appear that there were any issues scheduling officials. That didn't appear to be, some type of factor. I know there was some concern, I think, like when they first announced, hey, we're going to do all these four class tournaments all at the same time. But it looks like that wasn't a significant issue at all?
Well, no, I'm sure from the general observer there wasn't. I mean, I think our administrators were challenged with just the sheer number of games. Then we had some weather during the girls' tournament that, games got postponed, and then you're overlapping girls' games with boys' games. And so, there were some challenges with getting officials. And we knew that just the sheer number of officials that we were going to need, during girls sectional week and boys regional week was going to be challenging. While we strategically had them established so they would alternate days, the boys regional nights, were a challenge on that Wednesday night when they were playing semifinals. We got them covered, but to say there weren't challenges would not be correct, that doesn't something that we put out there, but there's clearly a shortage of officials nationally. And fortunately, basketball is one that we have a good number of officials, though, when you're having so many tournament games going on at once, we made it work, but there were challenges, and, our administrators took it on, and we're able to get all the games covered. But I mean, we need more officials for sure, and the quality of officials that you'd want to put on those games are something we, you know, we work on, we'll develop, and as officials gain experience, we'll have better coverage. But it worked okay, and we'll make it work into the future. But that's a lot of folks to assign and get to different locations.
All right. Let's segue to football here quickly. So here in the fall of 2022, the state finals will be played at Memorial Stadium, and we've been, you know, seesawing back and forth between DeKalb and Champaign. But a new contract will be awarded effective with the fall of 2023, so not this next football season, but the following. I think it's going to be a five-year contract, and no more altering every other year between sites, the way I read it. So when you award the five-year contract, it's going to be a permanent five-year contract, right? That's how I'm reading the bid specs?
Yeah, that's how we put it out there, and that's traditionally how we would put out, and even when the original 10 years ago, the original football contract was put out. It's for 5 years, one location. University of Illinois accepted that. And then it was shortly thereafter that it was discovered that the Big Ten Conference wasn't going to allow Illinois to have that open weekend every year. And that's what created then the 10-year contract of 5 years at the University of Illinois and then five at Northern. And so we put this out initially to try to return to that, you know, a five-year contract, one location. You know, we're not disappointed with the University of Illinois, and maybe they could navigate a way to host every year. And I've had communication with them, and I've said, if you can't, then go ahead and put us a bid for what an every other year looks like for you. And then at that point, our board can decide what's best for us. But it just falls in line with how we would traditionally put out a bid proposal. An extension for 5 years and find out who is interested across the state that meets the bid specs. And then our board will navigate a decision based upon what we get back from those that have and want to host our tournament.
Now, when do you think the final decision will be made on that then?
Yeah, that we think that's going to happen in December of this year, 22. So we'll finish up this football season. We've asked the bid proposals to come in early in the football season, give us a chance in the fall if to go out and visit and have questions answered about the bid proposal. And then we'll culminate the football championships in November and then plan on the next month in December of 22 to make that decision.
Now, so, you know, I was talking to Sam Knox maybe a couple of months ago, the administrator at the IHSA that oversees football. And, you know, there's this issue brewing about eight-man football, and will that fall under the oversight eventually of the IHSA? And it looks like it's kind of trekking in that direction, maybe by 2023, maybe it could be an IHSA state tournament series. So when you talk about the bid specs for football, Would eight-man football be included in the 11-man site or not? Is that something that'll be probably separate from that?
Yeah, at this point, as we're thinking about that, we anticipate that just because of the numbers of teams participating, that tournament bracket would probably be half of what our 11-man eight classes of football bracket is, currently 32 teams. And right now it looks like, and what eight-man football has done to date, is start with a 16-team bracket. And so that would, while we'd likely start with the playoffs all at the same time, that tournament may finish 1 week in advance of our 11-man tournament, assuming, you know, that what they're projecting and we're anticipating when we adopt eight-man football as a state final that we oversee, that we would probably start with a 16-team bracket and probably culminate that at a different location than our 11-man football Friday, Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend tournament would culminate. So that's initially how we see that playing out. Again, we'll have to see. And I think when we do adopt it, we could see additional teams stepping over into eight-man football, schools that are making that adjustment if we adopt it and conduct a state tournament in eight-man. So a number of things we'll have to see how it plays out. But initially, we would see it being a 16-team bracket as opposed to a 32 that our 11-man football is.
All right. One final topic, there's a new state champion that'll be crowned this year in the IHSA. It's an activity. It's esports, which is, you know, commonly referred to kind of as video gaming. And I see that the sectional will be April the 23rd. The state site is going to be in Bloomington, April the 30th at Bloomington High School. But eight sectional sites, I didn't count up individually. It looks like maybe 15 to 20 teams, basically, or 15 to 20 schools in each sectional site. So that looks like some pretty good growth to begin this new activity, you know, again, a state tournament series in esports. So I'm assuming that you're pleased with kind of the reaction you've received for the first year of this, and I would assume the numbers are going to continue to grow.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. We did a survey of schools and knew a couple of years ago, in fact, that we had over 100 schools that had some either club team or competitive team in esports. And our policy would have our board adopt a new activity or sport state series when we have 10% of our membership, which is approximately 80 schools. So, yeah, for us to have, and you're right, we're about 150, 160 schools that have entered into the esports state series. We're very pleased with that number. And as, you know, the notoriety and the celebration of us culminating that with some state champions, I think will only drive more schools to enter and to participate in that state series in the years going forward. So, yeah, excited about this new opportunity to engage students in a positive way and, you know, school-based gaming. We've seen it happen across the country already in some states, and we're really pleased to be able to offer that for our students here in Illinois.
Great. And then I'll just tell people that I see three additional bass fishing sectional sites have been added for 2022. So I know when I've talked to Kurt Gibson before, always looking for more bodies of water to fish at in Illinois. So they go from 22 sectional sites to 25 sectional sites this spring for the state tournament series in bass fishing. I think we covered everything today, Craig Anderson. I appreciate it. Like I said, it was weird because last year at this time we were getting ready for high school football, but back to the normal schedule, and looking forward to a promising spring to close out the 2021-2022 calendar, right?
We are, yeah. Just hoping the weather will turn here for us and give our students a chance to get out and compete. And, right, we're excited about the spring and culminating in a very positive way.
All right, an update with IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson. He joins us on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.